good news, part of my sermon is about receiving the kingdom like a child. It's interesting how things happen. So today I would like to talk to you about receiving the benefits of God. Receiving the benefits of God. And the title of the sermon is Experiencing the Awe, Blessings, and Love of God. Pastor Todd has been speaking about the Sermon on the Mount for 80, 90 last weeks, I don't know. And the main thing he's been talking about is a couple things. Being thunderstruck with the awe of God. Remember, he's used that word multiple times. And being blessed. Well, I didn't know he was going to preach that when he asked me a month or so ago. And the Lord said, you're to speak about awe, thunderstruck, and you're to speak about blessings. And now I understand why. And we're going to start with Ephesians chapter 1, if you have your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. We'll see if we can get that up on the screen. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Small technical difficulties. I'll begin reading. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. When did he do this? This will blow your minds. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Now think about that. You were created, he had a plan for you before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Well, how did he do it? He talks about that. He says, in love, he, God, predestined us for the adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, and in accordance to his pleasure and his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has given us in the one he loves. We're still efforting. So let's turn with me to Psalm 103. It's a very small font today. Psalm 103. In the New Living Translation, he talks about praising God. Let all that I am praise the Lord. And he talks about how to praise the Lord in Psalm 103. He says, that I may never forget the good things he's done for me. That I may never forget the good things he's done for me. The scripture is very clear. The more you focus on the benefits, the more you focus on the love. There we go. That's not quite it. That's another sermon. I'm sure that was very good. Psalm 103, verse 2. There we go. We'll do it from the NIV. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. The more you focus on his benefits, the more you focus on his blessing, the more you focus on the goodness of God, the more you will change. I don't know if you know this, but I'm a counselor, and I like to know why things work. I like to know why the brain works. And so I'd like to give you a little bit of brain science before we end up maybe looking at your sermon from a few weeks ago. I'm not sure. Above your right ear is something called the right parietal lobe. The right parietal lobe is the place where when you're focused on yourself, when you're focused on your problems, when you're focused on the news and all that's going on, when you're focused on the fact that this is happening and that and happening, that part of your brain lights up. That's not a bad thing to light up. But what we find is when that part of the brain, the right parietal lobe, lights up, the parts that understand transcendence, the parts that understand revelation of God, quiet down. They go to sleep. So here's what we see. They've done some studies with atheists. I mean, obviously, if you're an atheist today, you don't really believe in God, right? Atheists have a very strong right parietal lobe because it's all about themselves. Does that make sense? If there's nothing more, if there's nothing greater, if there's nothing transcendent, if there's nothing revelatory, if there's nothing eternal, then it's all about yourself. Their brains are highly activated in the right parietal lobe. Does that make sense so far? But we have something more. And so what they did with this is a secular study. There we go. I like that one better. What they did is they took a group of atheists and they began to show them pictures from the Apollo missions. If you don't know what the Apollo spacecraft missions, and if you've seen this, I know some of you don't remember those. I don't either. I'm much too young for that. But they took pictures from space, and the astronauts would report how awesome it was. Even astronauts that weren't necessarily religious, they had a transcendent experience. There was something greater than themselves. They weren't just in that capsule. They felt something greater. And so they took these groups of atheists and they began to give them songs that were transcendent. Not necessarily worship songs, but we sang songs today that were transcendent, meaning beyond ourselves. And they began to show them pictures of transcendent, and they began to read them poetry from the transcendent, meaning above themselves. And 100% of the atheists said, I don't know what's happening, but I know I'm not alone in the universe anymore. What I'm trying to say is we all have the capacity, whether you're religious or not, to live a transcendent life. And God wants to activate, he wants to quiet down that right parietal lobe, and he wants you to live a transcendent life, a life of revelation, a life of joy, a life of blessing. And he wants you to begin to be able to tap into those storehouses that Pastor's been talking about. Can I get an amen? Can I get a yabba, yabba, yabba like that little girl said? Amen. All right. So I want to share with you, I don't know how many people love when Pastor I say, hey, you can live a better life, but you like it even better when you say, tell me how. How many tell me how people do we have in here? All right, I'm a tell me how person, right? So I'd like to tell you how we're going to do that, and I would like to start a few years ago when I was 4 years old in a place called Pyatt's Bakery. From how many people are from Perrysburg here? How many remember Pyatt's Bakery? Can I get an amen for Mrs. Pyatt? All right, here we go. I was 4 years old, and our mother, we had a great mother, Pam and I had a great mom. She took me into Pyatt's Bakery for what in my family we call a prize. In our family, a prize isn't because you've been good, because that certainly never happened. It was because she loved us that she would give us prizes. And so I had never been into Pyatt's Bakery that I remember, but I probably had, but I was 4 years old, and I came in, and how many of you have been in a bakery? Oh, can I get an amen for that? What do you smell when you go in the bakery? Yum. Yeah, I got a yum. That's a, that fresh baked bread, those cinnamon sticks, and for me, the freshly made donuts. In Pyatt's Bakery, and again, I'm a little older than some, they had those old-time display cases that had the glass that curved. How many of you have ever seen that, right? And from end to end, there were donuts. And Mother said I could pick any two. And so I started down here slowly, methodically, working my way through. And I could choose any two donuts to take home with me. Can I get an amen for donuts? It's because she wanted to bless me, not because I deserved it, not because I was being a good boy, but because she loved me. Does that make sense? And she wanted to take me in a place that was rich in smells and joy, and it was a great time that we had. And you see, the more you focus on the blessings, on the aroma of God, on the good stuff of God, the more your brain will be transformed. Here's some other studies, and then we're going to get to Philippians 4. They took religious people. Now, they didn't define, this is another study, they didn't necessarily define Christian, non-Christian, but they took religious people. And we can now see your brain in real time. It's called a functional MRI. It's sort of like an ultrasound, and again, for you techno geeks, I know it's a completely different technology. Please breathe. But it looks like that. So if you've had an ultrasound and you can see a baby or whatever in real time, we can see your brain in real time. We can see it growing. We can see it activating. We can see everything about your brain in real time. It's like a video. Amen? The more they exposed these subjects to the goodness of God, the blessing of God, the power of God, the awesomeness of God, the more their brains became transformed. And over a year, there were parts of their brain that actually grew stronger, and the right parietal lobe grew weaker. They weren't able to focus on their problems as much. They were able to focus on the goodness and blessing and power and awesomeness of God. You see, we all have that capacity. It doesn't matter if you have an IQ of 4.5, amen, or if you have an IQ of 140. It doesn't depend on that. It depends on you choosing what you think about. So God says in Philippians 4, and my God will meet all your needs. How is he going to meet your needs? Through the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Amen? the more you get in touch with his riches, the more better your brain is going to be and the more better you're going to be. Does that make sense so far? We good so far? All right. So we see this is the right parietal lobe here. We've talked about that. So what we're talking about is transcendence. In my business, I'm a counselor. Transcendence is found in two different parts. One we call ecstatic experience. You and I would call it encountering God. I would call it having a revelation of God. You can call it whatever you want. Transcendence in the counseling business means some form of meeting God. There are three different parts of the brain that light up every time you encounter God. Here's another study. I love studies. I hope you guys are okay with studies today. If not, I'll just... You'll like my second point even better. Here we go. Every time they had worship songs, again, now we're talking, there's a study only of Christians, and they put transcendent worship songs that didn't have the word I or me, they didn't have any of those. They just focused on the awesomeness of God. Guess what happened? They had the right parietal lobe quiets down, and the three parts of that one part we call the God spot in my business lit up, and they felt as though their problems went away. We sing for a variety of reasons, but I'm telling you, there's a benefit to praise and worship. There's a benefit to you and God. And again, I know God commands it, and it's not all about benefits, but the more you are benefited, the more you are blessed, the more you are able to worship God. Does that make sense? All right. So I want to tell you how. Let's go to the next slide, please. Remember Christmas time? I'm not like this at all anymore. You open up those gifts. I want to teach you how to open up those gifts right now, okay? Those blessings. I want to teach you how to begin to transform yourself, next slide please, by the renewing of your mind. And it literally means to renew and return to a former state. Now, if Ephesians chapter 1 said the former state was before the foundation of the world. Wait a minute now. Are you saying that I am eternal, that there was a plan even before creation, before mom and dad came together? Absolutely. He wants to restore your mind. He wants to restore your soul. He wants to restore your body. He wants to restore your spirit to a place before the foundation of the world. If that doesn't blow what's left of your mind, I don't know what does. Hello there. How's it going? I'm not distractible. I have no ADD. It says in Ephesians, slide 9, Ephesians 1 through 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. There is one aspect that I would like to talk to you about that will help train your brain to get the revelation, to understand the revelation of God. The first thing we're going to talk about is experiencing awe. Pastor, have you been speaking a little bit about awe and reverence? List a little bit. Did anyone notice the beautiful little girl? What was she doing with Pastor Todd? Distracting him, right? She thought the Bible, which is awesome, but she was so curious. You've all been around children, right? Anytime you're around a child, they're so curious. They're so wonderstruck. They're so filled with awe about everything. I know a mom that took her daughter, five-year-old daughter, to the Butterfly House out near Oak Openings. Anybody been to the Butterfly House? All right. The little five-year-old girl walked in, and she said, Mom, this is the best place in the world. Pastor Todd read a couple passages earlier. Let the little children come to me, don't hinder them. And he also talked about, if you really want to understand the kingdom of God, start acting like a little child. Some of us do that very well. Amen, Pastor Todd? All right. And one of the aspects of being a little child is to begin to experience awe every day. So, there's two types of awe that we know of. One would be understanding or having an experience of God. That's called ecstatic experience in my business. That's lovely. But there's other ways to experience awe. Watch a child. The birth of a child. Go out. We have some athletes. We have some runners. We have some other people in the audience. Go on a trail. Go to the Rocky Mountains. I have one person that I know that loves to go to major cities and see the architecture. There are a million ways to experience awe. Can someone help me? How do you experience awe? Something that's just so cool, so wonderful, so whatever. How do you guys experience it? Help me out here a little bit. Anybody? Yes? The ocean. Amen. A couple more people. Anybody? How do you experience awe? Really, I can't tell that. Did you see the look on her face? She does not have a poker face on, does she? Yes, amen. Yes, sir. What is it? Speak loudly. Being happy. Can we get an amen for the brother over here who said, get being happy? There is awe in everything. You just have to focus on it. Think about this. Have you ever just looked at, say, an orange or a raisin and thought about the awesomeness that God had? Look under a microscope and see the awesomeness of God's creation. There are so many things. And what we've seen is when you experience awe, that right parietal lobe quiets down, and there are a whole bunch of benefits in the natural realm. Let's look. Exodus 15:11. Who is like you, O Lord, glorious in holiness, awesome in splendor, performing great wonders? We know that when you experience awe, it allows you to connect with God. And here are the different studies. It lowers inflammation in your body. It eases stress. It enhances well-being. It improves mood. It improves relationships because you stop looking at yourself and your selfish needs, and you start to love others. If only there was a command to love the Lord your God with everything you got and love your neighbor as yourself. If only there was a command for that. It allows you to do that because it makes you more humble and compassionate. I want to tell you how I met Jesus. Some of you know this story, some of you don't. I was at Miami of Ohio. Yes. Now Red Hawks, back then another name I'm not allowed to say anymore. And so I was in my dorm room, I was studying philosophy, I was studying psychology, I was studying all these things, and I knew they were found wanting. And so I said to Jesus, I challenged him, I'm in my dorm room, I'm all alone, I said, Jesus, if you're who you say you are, you prove it. He literally walked through the door was not open. And I knew immediately who it was. And I fell to the ground because he's absolutely holy. He's absolutely awesome. Everything you read in Isaiah is absolutely true. Everything you read in Daniel is absolutely true. Everything you read about Moses' encounter with God is absolutely true. Every time you see John the Revelator in the book of Revelation fall face first as if he were dead is absolutely true because Jesus Christ is awesome. And it changed my life. And I say to you, we serve the same God. And he wants you to experience that all. He wants you to experience that in a way that will change your life. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Experience all. Number two, experience blessing. Experience the blessing. We just read that. He wants you to understand blessing. I'm going to describe it one way, and then we're going to have an object lesson. Hope you guys like object lessons. Some of you have already learned what the object lesson is and are ready for it. I coached my son's soccer team when he was 5 or 6. I can't remember. I think maybe 6. Coach Bob. And if you've ever been around little people in soccer, they all want to follow the ball, right? Well, one of us that coached him is highly competitive. I won't tell you who. And what he did is the first practice, he got the boys together and he had name tags. He said, okay, what's your name? What's your name? Put name tags on him. He said, okay, Todd, what is your favorite non-meltable candy? Well, Pixie Sticks. Remember Pixie Sticks? We got Smarties. We got Pixie Sticks. And the next week, I came back with a clear plastic jug about this big with all of their favorite candy. And I said, if you stand over here instead of going toward the ball, you get a piece of candy. Amen? If you pass the ball from here to there, you get 2 pieces of candy. At that age, everybody wants to collect toward the ball. The first match we won 20-0. I'm not exaggerating. All the dentists in the crowd were thrilled. All the parents weren't so sure. The reason I'm sharing this story is we are all wired because we love to be rewarded. Now, there are some not good rewards. Amen? We're not focusing on that. God wants to reward you in a way that you will never be the same. We as Christians often walk in fear and in walking back and being careful we don't get slain by the world. But God wants you to walk in blessing. He wants you to walk in reward. He wants you to see that He is good and that He exists in an awesome way. So let's go to slide. Okay, we're on slide 13. Let's go to slide 13. Hebrews 11:6 says this, "And without faith, God says, it's impossible to please me, because anyone who comes to me must believe that I exist and that I reward those who earnestly or diligently seek me." So I'd like to do an object lesson today. I'd like to reveal Dove chocolates. Can I get an amen for Dove chocolates? I have brought these for everyone. Thank you for everyone that's helped bring them here. You may have a Dove chocolate. If you're young, you have to ask moms or dads or grandparents if you can. I'm young enough. I'll have to ask Pastor Todd for permission. You can come up at any time as I'm speaking about blessing and get one. One, Donna, one. Don't covet your neighbor's Dove chocolate. It's in the command. Anytime, you can come up and get that. So, anybody want a chocolate? Go on up. You can't get it for someone else. You have to get it for yourself. So, you can't get it for someone else. If you want a chocolate, come on up. There you go. Come on up. Yeah. Yeah. Again, if you're young enough, Rick, you better ask mom or dad there. Okay. You're welcome. Who said thank you? Laura, okay. You're welcome. Boy, they move faster than communion here, Pastor Todd. Rick Smith is taking a bite out of one and putting it back. What's up with that? Iowa, what is up with that? Dark chocolate, okay. I'm getting a sign from the back. It says awesome. You know. Donna just put a disguise on, so we think she's person number two. Here she comes again. I don't know what's up with that. Absolutely. So, I have to tell you something. Gene asked for permission. Laura's got perhaps the chocolate already going down there. Okay, so let's talk about this. God wants you to receive blessing from Him. I don't know some of you very well, so I didn't bring it here because, you know, you're my friends. Some of you are my friends. That's true. They're still laughing over there. Whoa! One, yeah. Let's talk about this. What's the first thing you had to believe to come up here and get a chocolate? That I exist, right? Right. What's the second thing you had to believe? That there's really chocolate there, right? It would have been deceptive for me to get up and say, well, you can come up here and there's an empty bowl. Some of you knew, but most of you didn't know if there was really chocolate up here. So I did it, and I did it to bless you. I didn't do it for any other reason. Some of you have never met before. Welcome. But I did it because I wanted to bless you. The chocolate exists. What's the next thing you have to believe? Yes, I want to give it to you. By the way, if you want to come up for round two, there's still some left. What's number four? I'm sorry. That you deserve to be rewarded because I am chosen to reward you. Does that make sense? And what's the next thing you had to do? You had to come get it. You had to come get it. And what's the last thing you had to do? You had to receive it. That's exactly what God is saying in Hebrews 11. He wants you to walk in blessing. He wants you to believe that He exists and that He wants to reward you and that the reward is for you. And He wants you to receive it. He wants you to take it in. He wants you to ingest it. He wants you to enjoy it. How many of you enjoy the chocolate? Can I get an amen? God in the kingdom is just like that. Until you understand how to walk in enjoyment, how to walk in joy, how to walk in all the good things in God, life is going to be too much of a struggle, because I don't know about you, but life stinketh. That's King James. Blessings are just like that. So experience awe, experience blessing, and we're going to talk about the last thing, then we're going to wrap it up. The last thing comes from Billy Graham. God's love did not begin at the cross. It began in eternity before the world was established, before the time clock of civilization began to move. Let's look at Ephesians. This is slide 16, Ephesians 1, 4 through 5. In love, He predestined you and I to be adopted as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. And according to what? His pleasure. His pleasure and His will. Why are we focusing on pleasure? Because that's a naughty word in the kingdom, right? It's a naughty word in some churches. But God is a God of love and of joy and of delight. When He comes to the little children, the disciples said, "Oh, you're too big a person to come." And He's like, "Don't stop me." And He loved the little children. The favorite part of the part of the service that you love best, other than getting the chocolate, was the baby dedication. Why? Why? Tell me why, other than the chocolate. Why is it that you love more than Pastor Todd and I and our wonderfulness? Why did you enjoy the baby dedication more? Tell me. The innocence and joy and the look on the people's faces and the love, right, and the protection. That's our Father. That's our Lord. And the more you can understand His love, the more you can understand His pleasure, the more your life will change and the more you will be blessed in Lord. I want to follow up with that story of Miami, Ohio. I'm in the dorm room. I fall face first. Jesus is there. Immediately I knew that I had harmed Him by sinning against Him. And I knew my heart. Sin wasn't that I'd done something wrong. It was my heart. So when I met Jesus, I could feel my heart had hurt Him, if that makes any sense. And I'd never been to church. Well, I'd been to church a couple times. I said, "I'm really sorry for hurting you." And immediately that left. And for about 3 to 4 hours, I lost all track of time. I kept feeling these liquid waves of love. And they would hit me, and I felt as though I was going to die. And I kept receiving this love over and over. And it was wonderful. I couldn't bear His love. I wasn't capable of receiving all of His love, but I never wanted to leave His love. One of the saddest parts in my lifetimes of my life is when that presence left. He's always with me, but that presence left. Because I said, "Lord, just kill me now, because I just want to be with You." That liquid love. So what I'm trying to tell you, and this is what we find in studies, is the right parietal lobe quiets down when two things happen. You experience love or you give love. When you experience love and when you give love. If only there were a number of scriptures that pointed that out. I want to say something that I wasn't planning on saying, and then we'll figure out what we're going to do. For some of us, the people that we want to love us aren't loving us in a way that's meaningful to us. Okay. We might have wives, husbands, parents, children, whatever, that aren't loving us in the way that we want to be loved. And I'm sorry for that. But I tell you, if you focus on that, you'll get lost in it. You'll get trapped in it. Because even if you are struggling to understand the love of Jesus for you, there are right now people in your life that love you. And you say, "How do you know?" Well, I'm brilliant. And here's how I know I'm brilliant. He hates when I talk about Him in person, but so here we go. You and I have one of the most loving pastors you have ever met. We have a great man of God as our pastor. Amen? And he loves you. He loves you. He foolishly considers me a friend and occasionally meets with me privately, and he tells me of his love for you. So you might not have a spouse that's perfect. You might not have a child that's perfect. You might not have a mom or dad that's perfect, but you have a pastor who loves you. I also want to let you know that more than you understand, there are people praying for you. And I mean that quite sincerely, and I know we're not supposed to say that we pray for people, and that's bad, but please understand, there are many times that God will wake some of us up in the middle of the night. By the way, you've interrupted my sleep. And we will pray for you. Why? Because God loves you. And the more you can receive that love, and the more you can feel that love, it may not be from whom you think it's going to be, but you focus on the love that God has for you, you focus on the love that pastor has for you, focus on the love that someone else has for you, your brain will change. Number two, it's easy when we're hurt to go inside ourselves, isn't it? Right? Well, you hurt me, and you hurt me, and you done me wrong, like those country and western songs, if you're a country western guy, sorry about that. And when we go into ourselves, we don't want to give love anymore, and we say, we're done, right? No more. But we know through studies that simple acts of love quiet down the right parietal lobe and begin to activate those healthy parts of the brain that eventually will receive God. I understand your hurt. The reason I understand your hurt is Jesus said, in every way you've been hurt, in everything you've ever struggled with, he too has suffered. Oh, hallelujah. Sorry, I thought you said probably. I'm like, no. But beyond that, no matter what has happened, you have the capacity to love. And you say, no. You don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand what's going on. I had a person that I know that throughout her childhood had been harmed. We're just going to say that. Okay? We're just going to leave it there. She made a choice. We started talking about the love of Jesus, and she had been very badly hurt. And she said, do you think if I start loving someone else, it will help me? And I said, yes. And so now she's serving in a local church. And she's maybe, possibly has a ministry to other women who may have been harmed. She took all of that pain and all of that hurt, and we'll just leave it there, but some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And she turned it around and began loving other people with the very pain and the very hurt that she has. And guess what? I don't have her as a client anymore. Why? Because she's healed. I didn't heal her. Jesus did. I didn't heal her. The Word did. Love your neighbor as yourself. It will change your life. So with all of that, I hope you will leave today saying, okay, how can I begin to daily experience awe? How can I, on a daily basis, receive blessing and give blessing? Donna's saying, how can I get more chocolate in every service? And the last thing is, love and be loved. So what I'd like to do right now is pray a blessing, and then we'll turn it over to Pastor. He can do whatever he wishes, and we'll go from there. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We praise you because you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Father, I bless these people. May they walk in your blessing. May they experience your blessing. May they be flooded with your blessing. May they know that you are a rewarding and good God who wants to help them, who wants to love them, who wants to help them experience awe and joy and power and insight into you. Father, I thank you that our brains are capable, even though we might not think they are capable of experiencing awe, and it is capable of experiencing you because you love us and we are created in your image. So, Lord, bless them with a sense of awe. And especially, Lord, I pray that you would bless them with a sense of love, to be loved and to love. In spite of the circumstances, may they reach out to you and to others, loving their neighbor, our neighbors, as ourselves. Father, we thank you. We bless you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen.